A pig is roasting in a pit. People are dancing and singing. But the land is just as barren as it always is, all dry grass and sagebrush.
This just seems strange to have Hawaiians in the middle of the desert.
It's kind of strange. We think it's kind of off the wall.
Back in 2001, producer Jeff Rice was driving through the salt flats of Utah. The last sound he expected to hear was the plucking of a ukulele. This is the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week, we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Here's Utah Luau, produced in 2001 by Jeff Rice.
The lake sure smells putrid today. The wind is just right. It smells dead. The Great Salt Lake is 15 times more salty than the ocean. And the only thing that lives in it are these little water bugs called brine shrimp, little creatures once sold as sea monkeys in the backs of comic books. If there was such a thing as the opposite of a tropical island paradise, the Great Salt Lake would be it. There are places to the west out on the salt flats where insects can't even live. You drive across sections of highway in the summer and you won't get so much as a gnat on your headlights. A few years ago, I drove past the lake out toward the emptiness and then turned left to go to a place called Yosepa in Skull Valley, Utah.
Lovely hula hands, graceful as the birds and more.
I was told Yosepa was a Hawaiian name, and that up in the hills, there were petroglyphs of jellyfish and sea turtles carved into the rocks, scenes of sharks and sea lions and palm trees. My directions were a little unclear. Take the road toward the top secret army base, go past Muskrat Spring until you get near Salt Mountain, pull off at a small ranch house. That's where you'll find the luau. There are about 500 Hawaiians here. They're staying in Winnebagos and tents. A pig is roasting in a pit. People are dancing and singing. But the land is just as barren as it always is, all dry grass and sagebrush.
This just seems strange to have Hawaiians in the middle of the desert.
It's kind of strange. We think it's kind of off the wall.
You know, Joseph F. Smith had to have been the most convincing preacher in the history of Christendom. Let me back up here. Joseph F. Smith was the grandson of Mormon church founder Joseph Smith, and he spent a lot of time as a missionary in Hawaii. And in 1889, he helped convince about 50 Hawaiians to pack up and leave paradise and move here, out in Utah's West Desert. They even named their town after him. Smith told them that according to Mormon scripture, they were descendants of a lost tribe of Israel, and that they were part of a great gathering of the tribes here in Zion. They would go forth and make the desert bloom. You gotta hand it to them. The colony grew to about 200, and they held on for more than 25 years. Enough time to leave 44 graves in the cemetery. Even several cases of leprosy didn't turn them back. Eventually, it was the Mormon church that thought better of things and adjourned the colony. But I'll bet the Hawaiians would have stuck it out. Polynesians still come here. Every year there's this big celebration to marvel at what the Yosepans accomplished. Saichi Kawahara is here performing some old songs composed by a group of the settlers who called themselves the Yosepa Troubadours.
Well, the song that was composed here, and inside of it is wrapped up the whole experience, Polynesian experience here in Skull Valley. Well, it was lifestyle of hardship. I mean, this is a very severe land here. But always retaining their ties to the culture, to the people back home, and to their food, to their dances and their songs.
Looking out there now, it's hard to imagine Hawaiians in this place, or that a place like Hawaii even exists. But you can try. At the top of the hill overlooking the Yosepa Cemetery, if you squint, off to the north, you can see a vast patch of blue water in the distance. It's the Great Salt Lake. Sometimes you take what you can get, and if the wind is blowing away from you, maybe, just maybe.
That piece comes from producer Jeff Rice with Hearing Voices. Drop by the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org to hear more pieces like this one. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you have thoughts or feedback, please write to us at podcast@tnc.org. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.